Today's shiur is daf Masechta Zvachim daf Ayin Tes. We will begin on daf Ayin Ches on the base, but we'll begin again at the second line of daf Ayin Ches on the base. In the previous shiur, we had learned that Rish Lakish taught us that if somebody ate a kazayis of pigle and a kazayis of noiser at the same time, the halacha is that he doesn't get any malchus, because what happens according to Rish Lakish is some of the noiser or some of the pigle diminish in his mouth, and we don't know which diminished and which didn't, and therefore remains a hasra, a sofik, and he doesn't get any malchus. So the Gemara at the end of the shiur said that Rish Lakish is speaking about a situation where the two pieces of the piece of noiser and the piece of pigle that he ate were the same type, they were both meat. And since they were both meat, they become bottle beroyv. In other words, where you have two pieces of meat, so they're both the same, with two different type of isurim, so there the halacha is, they become bottle beroyv. However, were they two different type of minim, let's say, as we explained, it was a piece of meat and some flour of a carbon mincha, there the halacha is, the way to measure it would be that we follow tam, and since there's a tam of a noiser here, a tam of pigle, indeed there would be two malchus. So the Gemara asked, v'nisham min b'minoi k'min b'she'en minoi, why in a situation, as we just described, where you have two pieces of meat, a situation of min b'minoi, why don't we treat it like a situation of min b'she'en minoi? Why don't we view it as if they were two different types? And we have a precedent for following such an approach from our Mishnah. The Tanan, because we learned in our Mishnah, this Arabiyai, if the blood of a carbon got mixed up with wine, we view the wine, the Gemara assumes, as if it were water. And now we see, if we had a mixture of this much wine and this much blood and this much water, it would still look like blood, then it's kosher lezrika. If, on the other hand, it doesn't have such an appearance, it will not be kosher lezrika. Now, the Gemara is assuming a very important point, that in our Mishnah, although certainly red wine and blood are not the same, for the purposes of our Mishnah, they are actually the same. Why are they actually the same? Because they have both the same appearance. And as far as what's relevant to our discussion in the Mishnah, appearance is all that counts. So, since they both have the same appearance, it's a situation of min b'minoi. And even though it's a situation of min b'minoi, our Mishnah is teaching us that we apply the concept of royin. And we don't look at it just as a min b'minoi and royv will be enough. Rather, we look at this wine as if it were water, and what effect would it have on the blood? So we see that even in a situation of min b'minoi, the halacha of our Mishnah teaches us that we can look at it as royin and treat it as if it were min b'she'en b'minoi, loy. Says the Gemara, that's not the way to understand our Mishnah. The way to understand our Mishnah is royin osir l'dam kilomayim. It's not that we look at the blood as if it were water. Rather, what the Mishnah is saying is we should look at the blood as water. And the Mishnah is teaching us that as long as we have roiv, wine, over the water, that is enough to be considered that the water should become, the blood should become bottle in the wine, and the blood should become bottle in the wine. And once the blood becomes bottle in the wine, the blood cannot be used for zrika, because min b'minoi is bottle b'roiv. Ask the Gemara, ihachi, if that's what the Mishnah is saying, that we're treating this as a situation of min b'minoi, that's bottle, ihachi bottle mi b'ilei. So that should be the wording of the Mishnah. The Mishnah should have said that when we have water and red wine mixing together, the water will become bottle in the wine if there's more wine than water. Void, Tanya. And there's another problem. The Braisa, which we're going to be, this Braisa, which we're going to be discussing quite extensively, refers to a situation where there's a tummy, where there's a tummy bucket, which is going to be immersed in a mikvah. The tummy bucket has in it liquid. So there are really three situations that we need to discuss. If the tummy bucket is full of water, then that water is not going to be considered a chatzitza in the bucket to prevent the bucket from being properly immersed. Why? Because we apply a concept known as hashaka. Hashaka teaches us that we view the water in the bucket as if it's connected to the mikvah water and makes it all acceptable. If, on the other hand, the bucket were full of wine, we have to see how much wine there is in the bucket. If there's so much, if there's so little wine that the mikvah water entering the bucket would dilute the wine that it should no longer look red, then it won't be a problem. If there's so much water, so much wine in the bucket that the mikvah water entering the bucket would not dilute the wine, that it should still have the appearance of red wine, it would be a problem and would not be a valid tefillah. Interesting to note that the Tosfos and the Rishonim point out that we're referring here to wine that has already been properly diluted, and therefore using the water here is only going to be an issue as far as the is only going to be an issue here as far as wine and water. We can't say that we should add some water to the wine to make it considered wine, because we're talking about wine that has already been properly diluted. The Braisa now begins to discuss a situation where the bucket is full of milk or white wine. And milk or white wine, as the Rishonim point out, even though they are liquids, in this case would be considered a chatzitza. And since in this case they're considered a chatzitza, our Gemara says the Mishnah, Rainai Soi, says Rabbi Yehuda, that how should we look at this white wine or milk? Rainai Soi Kiliyayin Edom. We look at them as if they're red wine. And now we look, if we had this much red wine and the mikvah water entered it, in Dio Mareyu, the mikvah water would fade the color of the red wine, then kosher, then the tefillah is a fine tefillah. The Mlav, but if it didn't have that ability, puzzle, if the red wine, if this were red wine, it would not have the ability to dilute that red wine, then the halacha is puzzle, it's not considered a valid tefillah. Now, again, going back to a point that we've made earlier in our shiur today. When we have here the white wine or the milk with the mikvah, it's certainly a situation of min d'minoy, because they're all essentially the same color. Yet, what is this braisa saying? That even though we have a situation of min d'minoy, we're applying the concept of rayin. So the question that we began today's shiur with comes back. Why did Rish Lakish say that when we have min d'minoy, a piece of pigle meat and a piece of noisa meat, we always follow roiv? Why don't we apply the concept of royin? Because from these two examples that we've just given, we've shown that we could apply the concept of royin even in situations of min d'minoy. Answers the Gemara Tanoihi. The question, if we could apply the concept of royin by min d'minoy, is actually a machloikus tanon, the Tanya. Because we go back to this issue that we've now been discussing. The lish yesh b'yayin lovin acholov. The tamei keli has in it white wine or milk. Bit biloy. So says the Tanakhama, Holchan Acha Roiv, we follow Roiv. If the bucket is less than half full with these items, then it's fine. If not, it isn't. Why? Because obviously, since it's a situation of min b'minay, and the Tanakhama is telling us that when we have a situation of min b'minay, we follow Roiv. However, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Roi Nosai Kilo Yayin Adam. We look at this liquid, the white wine or the milk, as if they were red wine. Im Deir Mareu Kosher, if there's so little of these liquids in here, that if they were red, it would become faded, then it's kosher. Vim Lav, otherwise, it's pasul. So we see that this issue of Royin by Min B'minoi is actually a Machloikis Tanoi. Vermini asked the Gemara, there's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Deli Shumali Roikin, if a Deli is full of Roik or spittle, with Biloi, and he puts that Keli into the mikvah, Kilo Loi Tavol. It's not a valid tefillah. Why? As the Rishayim explained, because since the Roik is thick, the halacha is that it serves as a chatzitza. And therefore, as the Rishonim go on to explain, it makes no difference how much roik there is or isn't in this keli. Even a small amount of roik will be considered a chetzitza. Meiraglayim, if it's full, however, of urine, rino soy kilomayim. We look at it as if they were, as if it were water. The halacha is that even though it's a slightly different color, we look at it as if it was water, it's considered min b'minoi, and min b'minoi, it's rino so kilomayim. We look at it as if it's water, and as I said before at the beginning of the shir, when it's full of water, we always apply the concept of ashaka. Mali mechantas. The mechantas we know is the water, which is a combination of ash of the paraduma and the mayim chayim, that water was used to sprinkle on a person who becomes tamei, that it's used to sprinkle on him. The halacha is, if it's full of mechatas, the halacha is, ad shir b'mayim mechatas, if we have a roiv of water, that means the mechatas is not the majority of the keli, it's fine. Otherwise, it's a problem. We're not going to rely here on hashaka, because isn't mechatas water? And if we set hashaka by mei reglayim, certainly point out to Rishonim, shouldn't we say hashaka by mechatas? Say to Rishonim, since it's so significant, it has this very powerful ability to be mitar tameim, mitar tahirim, we can't just apply the concept of hashaka to it. Now, the Gemara makes this point. Man shamet le islay royin. Who's the man d'amar in our previous piece of Gemara that accepts the status of royin? Rabbi Yehuda. Because it was Rabbi Yehuda who said that if the mikveh, that if the keli was full of milk or white wine, we look at it as if it was full of red wine. But Tani, yet here, the Baisa said, when we're talking about the Mechatos, that Roiv is enough. So the Mara's question is, how do we look at it? Again, let's establish a fact. The Mechatos in the mikveh, or white wine or milk in the mikveh, are all the same in terms of our looking at them as if it's min b'minoi. Yet in our two Gemaras that we've learned today, we've seen very unique situation. On one hand, Rabbi Yehuda said that when we have a min b'minoi situation, that in Mechatos, he said, follow the roif. And yet the very same Rabbi Yehuda earlier in our Shia said that when we have a min b'minoi situation, what we ought to do is apply the concept of roif. So how do we reconcile these two opinions of Rabbi Yehuda? Of course, a question that many Mefarshim are troubled with is that we also said in our Mishnah, and discussed it in our previous year, the Rebbe Yehuda is the man that says the min b'minoy is never bottle. So why is the Gemara saying here that by mei chatos, the halacha is, we'll apply the concept of roiv? How can we apply the concept of roiv? Doesn't Rebbe Yehuda hold that min b'minoy never becomes bottle? To which the Mefarshim say that at this point of the Gemara isn't asking that question, because the Gemara at this point is assuming that maybe where does Rebbe Yehuda hold that min b'minoy is not bottle? It's only in a situation like in the Mishnah where we're talking about kachshim. But in other areas of halacha, we're not quite yet certain that Rebbe Yehuda is of the opinion that min b'minoy never becomes bottle. So how do we reconcile the opinions of Rabbi Yehuda? Am Rabbi Loikasha. This is the way to reconcile. Hadaday, the Mishnah that just said that if you have the Mechatos, Roiv is enough, represents his own opinion. Had the Rabbi, which says that we apply the concept of Royin, follows the opinion of his Rebbe, Rabbi Gamliel. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda, I am Mishnah, Rabbi Gamliel, Ein Dam of Apple Dam. Blood is a mevatel blood when it comes to the zrika. Ein roik mevatel roik. Then we're glad mevatel roik glad. In other words, the way the Rishonim explained this Gemara is that actually Rabbi Yehuda is teaching us, Rabbi Gamliel is teaching us two chumras. One chumra that he's teaching us is that we don't say by min b'minoi a roiv is enough. What we need to do is apply the concept of Royin. And why do we need to apply, explain the Mefarshim, the concept of Royin? The reason we need to apply the concept of Royin is because of the very reason that we discussed earlier. We have to apply the concept of Royin because min b'minoy is never bottle. The only way min b'minoy can become bottle is by applying the concept of Roy. Now, as the Mefarshim say, if this is the way to understand the Gemara, we have here a very unique, we end up with a very unique situation. Rabbi Yehuda is the man d'omer that's quoted throughout Shas as being the man d'omer that says that min b'minoy is not bottle. And actually, the way the Gemara just gave an explanation, it's only his Rebbe, Rebbe Gamliel, who holds that way. It's actually not Rebbe Yehuda himself, which is a very interesting thing that we're always quoting throughout Shas, Rebbe Yehuda's opinion, and it isn't actually even his opinion. But the next teretz that the Gemara gives will be a teretz that even that question will not be a question anymore. Why? Because Rava says that indeed Rebbe Yehuda's opinion is that min b'minoy is not bottle. And because min b'minoy is not bottle, the halacha is that throughout Shas, we say min b'minoy is not bottle, and we're going to apply the concept of roi. If so, our question is, so why by the mechatos don't we say it? Why by mechatos is a roi enough? Answers the Gemara. Here it's referring to a case with the leash of toichotor for gabba tomeskin. As the Rishonim explained, midaraisa, a keli cannot become tamei from a liquid which is a rishon l'tumah. It's only a din midrabbanan. And therefore, when such a situation happens, and this type of mashka touches a keli, and it only touched the exterior of the keli, not the interior of the keli. Since, as we just described, we're referring to a very weak type of tumah, the tumah will only be on the exterior, not on the interior. Again, but tli, we're talking about a bucket, shetoicha tar, that the inside is tar, the gaba tumah skin, but the exterior is tameh, because it was touched by this type of a keli. The Medine, Sagra B'Kodahu. Midaraisa, so what would we require? Just to be toivel the exterior of the keli. However, the Rabbanim were guided, the Rabbanim were concerned, Dil Machayis Alayu. And maybe a person, he has to be toivel the entire exterior of the keli. And when he's being toivel the exterior of the keli, because he has in the keli this Mechatos, and the Mechatos, as we've been learning, is so very valuable, the person is going to be concerned not to make sure that no water gets inside the keli to disqualify that mechatas. Although I have to say that I saw that the Mefarshim explain that we're not talking here about mechatas that are have the full kedusha of the mechatas already. For were we talking about mechatas that have the full kedusha of the mechatas, the Mefarshim point out, the halacha is that if they get exposed in any way to any tumah, they would become disqualified. We're referring here, this is where Ramey Shapiro explains the Gemara, to mechatos that are in a place that they're all prepared, but they weren't miskadish yet. But again, regarding our issue, that since we're concerned, Chazal were concerned, that the person who has this mechatos, which is extremely valuable, in his keli, won't be toivel the exterior of the keli properly, because the exterior of the keli includes the rim of the keli, and he's concerned that some water will come into the keli and dilute that mechatis. Rabbanu hu d'gozav hu d'il mechayis alei v'loi mapalei, and he won't be toivel it properly. The kibim de rubia lo tzarech. However, once there's so much, there's roiv mei mikvah in the keli, that is obvious that he has been toivled properly, and therefore it's fine. And therefore this is a specific situation where roi will be enough. In all other areas, Rabbi Yehuda will agree that min de minoi, a simple roi, would not be enough. Actually, I saw that the Paiskim used this Gemara to talk about an interesting question, a question that comes up actually quite often. We know that a keli that is bought from Akum or manufactured by Akum, better said, needs tefillas keli, which includes many electric appliances, toasters and percolators and coffee makers. And the concern that always comes up is that when you toivel that type of a keli and you put the electric socket into the mikveh, you're going to ruin your keli. And therefore, what should be done? Suggest the Paiskim, that what should be done under such circumstances, suggests the Paiskim, is to not put that part, if it's possible, into the mikveh, the part where you have the electric socket. The question is, how could you be toivel a keli without immersing the entire keli in the mikveh? However, says Rav Moshe and the Minchas Yitzchak, from our Gemara we see that you could have a situation where you only have to be toivel the exterior and not the interior. The Chazon Ish actually disagrees. He says this is a very unique situation where the halacha is that the exterior has no effect on the interior. In most cases, says the Chazon Ish, the halacha is if the interior of a keli becomes tamei, you have to also be toivel the exterior, and the same is you can't exclude the place of the socket from the tefillas keli, and therefore it leaves it with an issue. Amar Rava, comments Rava. Amar Rabbanan B'Tamah. Certain times Chazal said that when you have a taruvis, the way to determine is by tam. Amar Rabbanan. Certain times Chazal said the way to make determination is by roiv. And Amar Rabbanan. Certain times Chazal said the way to make determination is b'chazusa, by appearance. Min b'she'en amina, when you have two types of things that aren't the same, B'Tamah. The classical case that we've mentioned numerous times is when you have meat and milk mixed together. It's certainly a situation of min b'she'en aminai, and the way it becomes batel is b'tam, which is what we know as shishim. Min b'minai, when you have two of the same type, the halacha is a roiv is enough. Because Rava doesn't obviously follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, the min b'minai doesn't become batel. Heichad ikach hazusa, where appearance is a factor, as we've been learning in our shir, in our shiurim, whether it's the mikveh with the wine in it, or the blood with the water in it, there, chazut, the marrow, the appearance is what's going to make the determination if we do or don't have bittul. Says the Gemara, as we started the shiur today with Rish Lakish's opinion that we learned in our previous shiur, that Rish Lakish said that if somebody ate a kezias, a pickle, and a kezias, a nicer, he doesn't get malchus, because Rish Lakish said since one becomes diminished, and we don't know which one is diminished, and we follow according to Rish Lakish the opinion that the smaller amount becomes bottle and the bigger one, it's considered min b'mino and it's bottle b'roiv, is in disagreement with Rebbe Lezer. Don Rebbe Lezer, because Rebbe Lezer's opinion is she'em mitzvahs mevatel zuzu. As the Gemara is going to speak in a moment, where we see that two different foods that both are a mitzvah to eat, if you eat them at the same time, one isn't mevatel the other. Kach ein isur mevatel zuzu. The same thing will be by isurim, that if you have two different isurim in your mouth and you eat both of them, you eat a kezias and both of them at the same time, that look is they're not mevatel one the other. Ask the Gemara, where do we have a precedent? Man shamitlei. Where do we have a precedent? The ein mitzvahs mevatel zuzu. The mitzvahs are not mevatel one the other. Says the Gemara, it's the opinion of Hillel. The Tanya, Omer lo about Hillel Zaken. They said about Hillel Zaken by Pesach by night. Shoyo korkum bas achas voichlan. He would take the Pesach, the matzah, and the maror, and eat them all at the same time, because the pasuk says shnemar amatzis amroirim yechlu. And as the Mefarshim point out, this rule doesn't apply bezman hazeh, because in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, where the halacha was that all, where the obligation to eat the Pesach, the matzah, and the maror were all chiyuvim deraisa, since they were all chiyuvim deraisa, that's why this didn't apply. But bezman hazeh, with Karban Pesach we don't have the chiyuv of eating matzah, is a chiyuv deraisa bezman hazeh. The chiyuv of eating maror is not deraisa; it's only drabonan. We certainly cannot be mekayim the mitzvah by eating them all together. Interesting to point out, as the Mefarshim points out, the Rishash points out, that the pasuk that the Gemara quotes of matzah samroim rechlua, that the Gemara is using as the source that you have to eat them all together, is actually a pasuk by Pesach Sheni. And the way the Mefarshim explain is to show that according to Hillel, the requirement that they all be eaten together is such a strong requirement that not only on Pesach Rishon, which of course is the main time for the Yontif, must we eat them all together, but even Pesach Sheni, the halach is that they must be all eaten together. Furthermore, the Mefarshim asked, so according to Hillel, we have to eat a kezias, a Pesach, and a kezias, a matzah, and a kezias, a maror, all at the same time, which means three kezaisim at the same time. And the Mefarshim are troubled that there isn't room in the mouth for three kezaisim at the same time. So how could Hillel suggest that it be done? So actually, some Mefarshim explained that this is the basis of the Rambam. The Rambam says that only the matzah and the maror were eaten together, but not the Karban Pesach. And everybody is troubled, why does the Rambam say so? So they explain that the Rambam had this problem, and that's why the Rambam said that even Hillel agreed only matzah and maror, not Pesach. But that's not Pashup Shat. Pashup Shat is that they're all eaten together. So how do we understand? So the Mefarshim say there isn't room in a person's mouth to eat a whole kezias of Pesach, and a whole kezias of matzah, and a whole kezias of maror. However, if they are crumbled, there would be room in the mouth. Then the Mefarshim asks a very obvious question. Our Gemara is being used to teach us a halachic principle, that just like Hillel said, you eat these three kezaisim together, and one is a mevatel the other, so too by Yisurim. Ask the Mefarshim, the reason it's done on Pesach is because the Torah expressly told us to do so on Pesach. So it's a unique gezeiros hakosuf regarding the achila on Korban Pesach. How can we use that as a precedent for all other areas of halacha? So the Sfas Emes answers that although, as the Gemara just quoted, the pasuk says al matzus umroirim yachlua, we could have perhaps fulfilled that obligation by eating them one right after the other. The fact that the pasuk says, the fact that Hillel said you don't have to eat them one right after another, we can all eat them at the same time, the pasuk is teaching us that different isurim or different items, different foods in the mouth at the same time aren't mevato one the other. Another way the Sfas Emes answers is that yes, the pasuk says amatzis meroyim mechlua, and Hillel defines the pasuk of amatzis meroyim mechlua that we have to eat all three together. But there's another pasuk that says be'erev toichlu matzis, and if the halacha, if the fact is that when you have different items in your mouth, one is mevatel the other, the halacha would be that indeed you have to eat all three together. And after you eat all three together, you would have to eat a kezayis matzah to be mekayim the mitzvah be'erev toichlu matzis, which if mitzvahs, if things are mevatel each other, you haven't been properly mekayim. The fact that Hillel said, just take these three kezayisim and eat them together, and you need not do anything more, is clearly indication that different foods in your mouth at the same time, one is not mevatel the other. The Mefarshim explained, homiletically, what is the explanation of this halacha? So they explain as follows. They say that we know that Klal Yisrael was supposed to be Mitzrayim 400 years, but they left Mitzrayim after 210 years. Why? Because the Kisha Shibud was what? Was Mashlam. Explain the Mefarshim. That is the lesson. Murr represents the bitter years of Mitzrayim, the difficult years we were Mitzrayim. Pesach represents our freedom. Matzah really has a little of both. To teach us that the Pesach came from the Maror, because we had the Kishu HaShibud, because we had those very, very difficult years in Mitzrayim, that's why we came to be able to come out of Mitzrayim earlier by the Pesach that represents the freedom. But then I saw another pshat along the same lines. The Gemara says in Masechet Brachos that Hillel was once traveling on the road and he heard cry coming from a home in the city. He said, I'm certain that it's not coming from my home. Why was he certain that it wasn't coming from his home? Because Hillel had trained himself and trained his family that nothing bad ever happens to us. Whatever happens to a person is really for the good. It's really good, because that's what Hashem wants. And that is the lesson of Hillel. The matzah, the maror, the Pesach, it's all together. It's all one. Why is it all together? Why is it all one? Because it's all the ruts in Hashem. And whatever is the ruts in Hashem, that is what is all good. There's no difference. It's not matzah, it's not maror, it's not Pesach. It's all rots in Hashem. But then I saw a very beautiful vart. We know, as we said earlier in our shir, that even if one were to agree that the halacha follows Hillel's opinion, b'zman hazeh, we can't follow that opinion because we don't have Pesach, and the Mara, as we said before, is only b'drabbanan. Yet we know at the Seder, we do kairach. And we say Zeichel L'Mikdash Kehillel. So what's the point of doing Zeichel L'Mikdash Kehillel if we're not following what Hillel said anyway, and it's not halachically what the minig is? So say to Mefarshim, the lesson is that we want to follow Hillel. We want to follow Hillel even if we can't technically, halachically, be Mekayim Mitzvah by following Hillel. The lesson of it is that we should always follow the ways of Hillel. Not only should we follow the way of Hillel in this halacha, which would anyway not really be Mekayim, we should follow Hillel in all of our actions. And we know what is Hillel represent. Hillel represents that he was the Anav, the very modest, humble individual. Hillel represents the paradigm of a Havas Yisrael. Zeicher l'mikdash kehillel. We should always make a zeicher to follow in our lives the way of Hillel. Continues the Gemara. The halacha is Tan Rabbanan, Charshin shel Zav v'Zava. Here we have a urinal that was used by a Zav and a Zava. And the halacha is that any fluid that leaves the body of a Zav of a Zava is an avatoma like the Zav himself. And therefore, with someone to carry this urinal, there's a tumas masa because of the urine that's absorbed into the walls, the urine of the Zava, the Zava. And as the Mefarshim, that's the way Mefarshim learned. There are others that learn that the issue here is not the urine that's absorbed into the walls. We're talking about the urine on the outside of the walls. But again, we're going to learn the Gemara. We're referring to the absorption of the Meiriglayim that has on it a Tumas Masa. Furthermore, even though we know that Klicheris, which is what this urinal is made out of, Shvirasim Zutarasim, breaking them is the way to make them tahar. Here, that's only effective when we're not talking about the absorption of urine. When we're talking about the absorption of urine, we still need to have a way of getting that absorption out. And how is that done? Says the Gemara, Hachashin shel Zav v'Zava, Pam v'Shoina v'Shoini, if they were washed one or two times, they're still tamei. Shlishi, but if they were washed a third time by putting water into to the water in the third time, it becomes tahar. Of course, the Mefarshim ask that we know that klicheris you can't get an absorption out of. So why do we say that by washing it three times we get the absorption out? Answer the Mefarshim. That absorption that can't be gotten out of a klicheris is only absorption through heat. Here, since the absorption of the meiriglayim was not through heat, by washing it three times, you can get that absorption out. Avol lo nosen l'toich hamayim, if he didn't wash it with water, afilu asiri, even after the tenth time, the halacha is, even after the tenth time of using it with meiriglayim, it's still tummy. Rav Lazar ben Yaakov Aymer, shlishi apish l'nosn l'toich hamayim tar. Even using it three times, three tar urine, according to Rav Lazar ben Yaakov, it's not only water that can get the absorption out, but even tar meiriglayim can get it out. So in other words, the machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rav Lazar ben Yaakov is if only water could get this absorption out, or could even meiriglayim, could urine get this absorption out? Ask the Gemara, man shamedle, who, as the Gemara is trying to identify, is the Tanakhama? It must be the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that says, min b'minoi loy batel. It's Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, meiriglayim cannot get out the absorption of meiriglayim, because it's min b'minoi. Ask the Gemara, v'rminu, it says in the following brisa, Pishtin shetavas anida, the nida was spinning flax, and as the Mefarshim explained, they typically would make the fibers of the flax moist with saliva. And the halacha is that this discharge of the nida also is metame anybody with a tumas masa. So again, Pishtin shetavas anida mesitai tar. If somebody moves it, it's tahor. Because the Gemara says that saliva is only metama when it's still moist. When it absorbed by the flax, since it's dry, it's not metame, and if somebody moves this flax this way, it's tahor. V'mahayalach, but if the saliva is still moist, mesitai tame, whoever would move this flax would be tame, v'shamash kapia, because we have here the fluid exiting the nida's back, nida's mouth, and if it's still moist, there's a tumas masa.
Yehuda Oimer, Af Haroitza B'mayim Tamei. Even if somebody moistens this flax with water, it will still be Tamei. Shemashkapia, the Tumah of Mashkapia will still apply. And it seems to be the Fil Tuva, even if it was done many times. But why didn't we say that just like by the urinal, if it was washed 3 times, it takes away the Tumah of the Mei Reglayim of the Zov or the Zova? Shouldn't the same be here, that even if this flax absorbed the saliva of the Nida, if it was washed 3 times, it should take it away? Answers the Gemara, Amarav, Papa Shani Roit Dekar. We can't compare the situation of the Mei Reglayim to the saliva. Saliva penetrates more deeply into the flax than the Mei Reglayim does into the urinal. And therefore, even though the Mei Reglayim is removed after 3 washings, that wouldn't have the same rule by the saliva. We learned in the Mishnah, this Arab Adam Psulim, if the blood of a kosher carbon became mixed with the blood of a pasul carbon, so the Mishnah said, Yishafech La'amah. Similarly, the Mishnah said, if the blood, the Dama Nefesh, got mixed together with the Dama Tamsis, the halacha is that it should be poured out. That is the, and even if it's roif, that is the opinion of the Chachamim. Reb Lezer says we follow the old rule. He says, unless that we have to see what's mevatel what. Ask the Gemara b'maikum if there's enough kosher dam to mevatel the problematic dam. Reb Lezer will allow that dam to be used for zrika. Ask the Gemara b'maikum mefli. What is the basis of their argument? Amr v'zirid begoizim gzeir b'midish kumefli. Should we make zeiris in the base of Middash? The Massover, the Tanakhama holds that we make such zeiris. Therefore, the Chum were concerned, according to Rashi, that if we're going to allow the blood, which is more kosher blood, versus the non-kosher blood, to be sprinkled, we may come to even do it when there's more non-kosher blood. To prevent such a situation, Chazal said it should never be done. The Masav, the Chacham hold, we make such a gzera, whereas Rebbe Lezer holds, we don't make such a gzera. In other words, as the Rishonim explained, certainly there's room for such a gzera. And certainly, they're both of the opinion, when a gzera was made for rules outside the Beis HaMikdash, they apply even in the Beis HaMikdash. The question is, since we're referring here to the Beis HaMikdash, Rebbe Lezer holds it's not proper to make gzeiris in the Beis HaMikdash because of such concerns. Rebbe Papa held, no, the Kula Amagazer. Rebbe Lezer will agree that when Dam Posel and Dam Kosher get mixed together, there's every reason that gzeiris should be made to validate the zrika. The only time we have a machlokes, should a gzeira also be made in the case of the dama tamsis? Masover, the Tanakam is of the opinion that even dam tamsis sometimes could be more than the dam hanefesh, and therefore gzeira was made even there. On Masover, whereas Rebbe Lezer holds that it's rare that you should have so much dam tamsis that it will be more than the dam hanefesh, and therefore to make gzeira in the case of the dam tamsis and the dam hanefesh when they got mixed up, that's a very far-fetched gzeira that we avoid. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Rapapa, according to Rapapa's understanding in the Mishnah, which is that Rebbe Lezer agrees by dam kosher and dam posel that we make gzeira. He only disagrees by dam tamsis and dam nefesh. Now we can understand the Mishnah. Hani the Tani the Sarab dam apsul mishafach lamer, but dam tamsis mishafach lamer. Why the Mishnah spoke about these cases separately? Because the rules are different. In the case of dam psul and dam kosher, there is no machloikis. There's only machloikis by dam tamtzis and dam nefesh, and that's why the Mishnah had to separate them into two cases. Ela Rav Zvid, that the machlokes of Rav Elazar and the Chacham applies in both situations, lervinu v'lasninu, that should have been taught that in both cases Rav Elazar sees no reason for making zera, and Rav Chacham do see a reason for making zera. Why are they separated into two cases? Says the Gemara, according to Rav Zvid's understanding of the Mishnah, indeed, Kasha, this remains a question.